Good morning. All right. Let's stand and go to the Lord this morning. Glad and thankful to be back in God's house. Glad, grateful, thankful for you being here today. And I'll tell you, we just need to really get as close to God as possible. We always say time is short, but time is short. You know. And we don't know how short it is, but we know this, that the Bible's told us that one day we'll die, or one day He'll come back. Either way, time is short. So we need to be ready and prepared for that. Brother Philip, will you open us this morning? May be seated this morning. Glad to have everybody here. Glad Sister Donna Faye's feeling better and be back with us today. Glad to see Sister Donna with us today.
Amen.
And Brother Yalls, I never have got your mom's first name.
Gail?
Okay. Glad to have Sis back with us today. And then glad to have Sister Kenya today. For next Sunday. So Lord's working that way. You keep praying that it'd be a straight time off, not in every other Sunday or so. But anyways, we thank the Lord for that. Grab your red book. Go to page 175. There is a fountain.
Sinners' blood be
591. I will not be denied. Remember verse 1, I would not. And then in the second two verses, I will not. Because once that change is made and we follow the Lord, we'll not be denied. For that this morning, that I will not be denied. You know, it's just like the devil, though, to try to tell us that the Lord's God and doesn't care. You ever thought about that? While Jesus was here, the disciples had hope, and there was something there. And then after that, he left, you know, his death, his burial, his resurrection. It took just a little bit of time for him to understand before he appeared back to him. You know, this is exactly what he was talking about. And their hope faded in that time because they no longer beheld him. But then after he being seen again and talking to him and reminding them, and the Holy Ghost coming and talking and reminding, we realize this, that he was right. He told him, he said, I'll go to the Father, but I'll send you another comforter. And they were comforted while I was here. And then they kind of lost their comfort for a little bit. But then when the Holy Ghost came back and dwelt within the hearts of men, that comforter back there, then we were sure. Now the devil says, well, he's still gone. No, he's not. While the Lord is in heaven today interceding for you and I, the comforter is living right here. And I've got this word to remind me of all of these things. And I know today that the Lord hears my cries. And I'm thankful this morning for that. Do be mindful to keep all those in prayer who have been sick. Glad Sister Dawn Faye is feeling well enough and with us. Continue to pray for Kayla. She's doing better, but still not 100% that way. So remember that in your prayers. Sister Mary, remember her in your prayers this morning, lifting her up. And Brother Johnny was back with us last Sunday night. We appreciate that. But do remember all those. Anybody you want to call by name this morning?
Keith Nolan, my son-in-law. He had COVID, but they also discovered he's diabetic. And I would like to give a praise report. David Cox, that's been on ventilator for about a month, is starting to wake up now, and they're almost ready to wean her off the bed.
Amen. anybody else?
My daughter-in-law in California, the one that's been so bad, she was on oxygen for a month. But she's completely valid now and on her feet and back on her going. And her Aunt Betty has been praying for her, and they said she was going to die if she wasn't going to live. And they opened a surgeon up on her and left it open to drain. So now they're taking her off of that this Wednesday, and she's going to go home. So, you know, all about us today is we give up. You know, God don't never give up.
That's right.
But we do. But I didn't. I still pray for her. Not that my prayer got any good, but the prayers of somebody did. And thank God for that. She's going to go home and she's all right.
Amen. Thank the Lord there. And that was Betty?
Aunt Betty, yeah. This is Pam's aunt, after my daughter-in-law's aunt. But they absolutely told her she wasn't going to live.
All right, anybody else? Anybody else? Yes, sis.
I could stand on Tuesday.
Remember that.
You're going to have another treatment on Thursday.
All right. Brother Mike Hoggard's family is doing better. And actually got to talk to him last Saturday, so I do remember that. But they were still doing no in-person services due to the COVID in their church last week. I'm not really sure about this week, but do remember them. Anybody else? Unspoken. Amen. Stand with us this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. The ushers come at this time. Father, we thank you today for your love, your mercy and grace. Thank you this morning for the many blessings you give us, Lord. Father, I ask you today to draw us close to thee and one to another, precious God. Help us, Lord, to be comforting, encouraging, but also challenging, dear God, one to another. Lord, that we may keep each other strong and Father, help each other walk the straight and narrow path. Lord, I thank you today for the blessings you've provided. Them has said, Lord, how wonderful you are and what you've done for us, dear God, in answering prayer so many times. Lord, I ask you to just continue to do so and help us, Father, to accept your will. Father, I pray this morning that your word would be glorified in our hearts and our minds, Lord. Father, we pray that you bless the offering. Let it be used for thy glory. Help us, dear God, draw close to thee and one another. Again, we ask and pray in Christ's name. Amen. And amen.
Thank you.
567 in your red book this morning. 567, till the storm passes by. Somebody special this morning. we'll take your money in a minute. But right now, we'll sing to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you.
And many more.
Any anniversary? See, I'm not perfect, and I realize that. Now, the rest of you better start understanding that. All right, we're going to do this one this morning. The sun's coming up.
Thank you.
give a Bell mic somewhere, raise your hand. Zach must have forgot to put on deodorant this morning. He didn't raise his hand. But he seen what was behind in front of him. I couldn't see it right in front of me. All right. He knew where it was. If you've got your Bibles this morning, I'll tell you the truth. I've got three different messages today. I'm only going to preach one of them. Revelations chapter 2. We're actually starting at chapter 1. Revelations chapter 1. You would stand with us this morning. We want to start in verse 9. And I'll tell you what, for the ease of your feet, we'll just read verse 17 and 18, and then we'll get back into the other. John said, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying, Fear not, I'm the first and the last. I'm he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death." Father, this morning I thank you, dear God, that you are still alive and well. I thank you that you're in control. You're still on the throne. God, I would today that we would all remember this and do what we need to do, Father, to one day stand before you, not be judged to our sins and condemned by them, Father, but rather stand before you with the blood of Christ applied, Lord, to be this morning received and accepted. Lord, I pray today that you'd help us to do your will, to praise, worship, honor, and glorify your name. And we'll thank you, Father, and we'll praise you, Father, in Jesus' blessed name. And amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. I'll tell you today, church, a lot of things on my mind, and I hope this morning that I will not confuse any of them, but to simply give you what God would have us to give you today. It's been on my heart for a long time. And I've tried, I guess, to express it in several ways, and God using me and helping me through His Word to try to express it. But the truth of the matter this morning is, church, that time is drawing nigh. And I've said it before, the Bible says it, that the Bible said that it's time that judgment begin, and it begins at the house of God. And I will say today, church, that you and I this morning need to make sure first and foremost that we are part of the family of Christ. You and I must be born again. We must be saved, blood washed, in order to be what we call the children of God. We need to be set aside and become peculiar. In other words, we're not like the world. We're different from the world because the world is not in us, although we are in the world. But rather that the Spirit of God is in us, the Word of God lives in us and directs our lives. Time is getting to the point to where we begin to wonder what tomorrow will actually look like sometimes. Things happen and we wonder, well, does that mean that God will come back tonight? Because after all, it's got to be worse than what it ever was. And seeing things that come down the pike sometimes scare us. Because we don't know what they mean and what they are and how it's going to affect us. But the truth of the matter is this morning, that I've got a faith and I've got a trust, not only in the one who started it, but the one who will finish it. When it's all said and done, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, will still be Jesus Christ, the Son of God. God will still be sitting on the throne. The difference will be whether or not you or I will be there, or we'll be somewhere else. The two alternatives that we have today is heaven and hell. Heaven is achieved by trusting in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It is achieved by following the Word of God, the will of God, the plan of God. And you and I this morning will just say this, cannot make up our own will or plan for God because He's already got His in place. I find today that we oftentimes try to make our own plan. We try to determine our own paths. We try to determine what is right and what is wrong without looking at God and asking God to give us the assurance. We try to anticipate what's coming, prepare for it, without ever trusting in God to make the preparations. I know this morning I will say for myself that as I've gone through these times and I think about this, it seems like the more I pray, the more I wonder, the more I try, sometimes the harder it gets. But the truth of the matter is this. It got really hard for Christ when He started on the journey to Calvary. I mean, it wasn't simplistic. He started off with a beating. You think about this for just a second. Well, Brother Ernie, it started with the trial. It started with false accusers. Hey, church, the world doesn't like us today. I'm past that part. But He started off with a beating. As He took the beating, He then had to take the burden. As He took the burden, He had to get it all the way up to Calvary. He went up to the place the Bible calls Golgotha, the place of the skull. And we know there that we even on the cross, it wasn't finished when He got there. He laid Himself on the cross. He willingly stretched forth His hands. He allowed the nails to be driven through His hands and His feet. When they pounded the cross into the ground there, and when I say pounded it, I don't know that they hammered it, but they dropped it, however it went there. He hung there willingly listening to their scoffing. When He said, I'm thirsty, they gave Him vinegar mixed with myrrh. And then when it was all said and done and they could do no more, they pierced His side and blood and water did gush forth, the Bible says. Yet in all these things before He died, He said these words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Sometimes I wonder if we still don't know what we're doing. If you go back into the seventh verse, or the fourth verse, we'll read this morning. Said John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from Him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before His throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, unto Him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in His own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and His Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, He cometh with clouds. It's an amazing thing that He thinks about here, that He tells us who He is, and then He tells us how He's coming. He said, and every eye shall see Him, and they also which pierced Him. All the kindred of the earth shall be well because of Him. Even so, amen. Then verse 8, Jesus says, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Then saith the Lord, which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty. Jesus Christ is coming back again. The Bible tells us that He's coming for a church without spot and without blemish. And you and I this morning will say, how is that possible? Because I sin. I do things wrong. I'm not going to do things right. Well, the spot and the blemishes are washed away by the blood. Remember 1 John, if we confess our sins, He's faithful to forgive us of our sins. And I know this morning that sometimes that people would say, well, what happens if I sin now and die next? Well, I will say this, that my God is gracious and merciful. And I believe with all of my heart that if I was to mess up right now before God called me out, He would give me a moment of time to get things right. I honestly will tell you this morning, I do not believe that God sits in heaven looking down on you and I and says, I got them now, they're going to hell. That's not the way God works. Instead, my Bible tells me that God is long-suffering, not willing that any should die, but that all should come to repentance. And the Bible says, do you not know that the long-suffering of God leadeth thee unto repentance? In other words, God is not sitting in heaven waiting to entrap us, but rather God is sitting there waiting for us to get out of the trap and the snare of the devil and come to Him and live and have His life abundantly in our lives. Then He goes on in verse 9, and I, John, also, who also am your brother and your companion in tribulation in the kingdom of patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. I'm going to say this morning. Listen to me very carefully there. John was in prison because he refused not to talk about Jesus. He refused not to share the Word of God. Instead, he did so willingly, lovingly, obediently, faithfully, continually. And so when they could not shut him up, they sent him out. They tried to exile him. They put him in some place where he could not be heard. And I will say this morning. I will say maybe in this aspect, God said they're not going to hear. So I'm going to let you go over here, John, so you can hear one of the greatest books of the Bible. I'm going to reveal to you the book of Revelation. And so John got away from all the mess over here, got over here, and in this time he was able to get in touch with God. And God spoke to him and delivered to him the message that you and I ought not be afraid of, but we ought to hear. I'm not going to go through the book of Revelations today, but I want you to understand something. People are scared to death a lot of times of the book of Revelations because they cannot comprehend what it says in many places there. But I'm going to tell you something. The book of Revelations is not a scare tactic of God, but it's a revelation so that you and I will know what God is doing and be prepared and ready. Just think this morning. I don't want to go through the seven plagues. I don't want to see the seven vials. On the same hand, though, if they come in my lifetime where it happens and I'm here, I will say this. I know what's going on because God told me what's going on. So what do you do then, Brother Ernie? Well, you just hold on with the bulldog hold. Be faithful, the Bible says, unto death. Realizing this morning, no matter what happens, God's still in control. And our faith and our trust in Him is more important today than ever in our lifetimes. Because of this, we know that the Bible says that when we see these things coming and we see these things happening, these are the beginning of sorrows, or these are times of tribulation. These are things that are going to take place. And when we see them, what does it say? Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. It didn't say bury your head in the sand, cower down, hunker down, go hide somewheres. It said look up. Can I tell you something this morning, church? If you go out and get in your bomb shelter, you ain't going to be seen much but the ceiling of a bomb shelter. But if you instead will keep your faith and your trust in God, and He look up, the Bible says that every eye shall see Him. You ever thought about that? We think, I want you to think about something this morning. Oh, think about this. If Christ comes back, and we have what we call the rapture. Let's just flip over here. First Thessalonians chapter 4. Verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe, here's the key, for if we believe What are we going to believe? That He is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He is that which was and is to come. He is the one, as I read this morning, who has the keys of hell and of death. Nobody else has them, by the way. He has them. And you and I can't take them from Him. He controls who goes into heaven. He controls who goes into hell. And He does it based upon our faith and belief or our denial and our unbelief. He says, "For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, also them which are asleep in Jesus will God bring back with Him. For this I say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air, meet them in the cloud, to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore comfort one another with these words." Look at what He said here. He said, "Every eye shall see." Now think about this, church. When the Lord comes back, it is not going to be a mystery like we get sown in movies today. You and I will be plucked up, called up, however you want to say it. Those who are ready to meet the Lord in the air, they'll be gone, ready to meet Him. Those that are left here will not be going, "What just happened? Where did everybody go?" The Bible said that every eye shall see. Not everybody's going to go up, but everybody's going to see. Think about this morning, church. If everybody sees, what does that mean for those who are left behind? They missed it. They saw it happen, but it's over with. It's done. It's finished. It's out of here. I don't know about you, but this morning I don't want to be one of the ones going, "Whoa, that was Jesus." Can you think about that, church? Can I tell you something this morning? Put away movies for a moment and get focused on the Word of God. I can't remember, is it Tim LaHaye who wrote the Left Behind series? Is that right? I don't know who it was who wrote it. But listen to me. You know what his whole story is about? Your hope after the rapture. You think about that. The whole story is about your hope after the rapture. My Bible says that they which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet Him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. By the way, it does not say He's coming back a third time. Anybody see that in the Bible? It's not found in the Bible. When it's done, it's done. When He comes, He comes. "We which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet Him in the air, so shall we ever be with the Lord." Friend, let me tell you something this morning. If you trust in the movies, they're always giving you another hope. So you got this hope, and if you don't get this hope, you get this hope. And if you don't get this, you get this one. In other words, there's a never-ending chance. If you don't get this message, maybe there's another one. You don't understand this sign, maybe there's another one. You don't perceive this one, maybe you'll get another. Listen to me. My God has been willing to allow me to live in this life for 51 plus years. And if after 51 plus years of preaching the gospel and hearing the gospel, God calls me out today, I have no excuse. And if the rapture happens today, and I'm standing right here, I have no excuse. And God is not obligated to give me another chance. He's gave me a chance every day of my life since I come to the age of accountability. And from that point on up to this point, He's always gave me a chance and an opportunity. The Bible says, "No man cometh unto the Father but by the Son, and no man cometh unto the Son except the Father draw him." And you and I sitting in the house of God this morning have already heard it said that you're only going to get there through the shed blood of Jesus Christ and through the will, the plan of God, and by no other means. And if He comes right now and you're still sitting here, don't expect another chance. Movies have destroyed the truth of God. Just think about it. They always tell you the story they want to tell you because they want to leave you with hope. My hope is in Christ alone and in the Word of God that I've got right here. Not the book series Left Behind. Not the story of Job the prayer of Jobez. You know, it's in this. And this tells me that Jesus said that when I come, it's done. It's over. So John was there. He said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice of the trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, and was what thou seest write in the book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, unto Samaria, unto Pergamos, unto Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. Now I'm going to say something else, church. I want you to understand this. In the book of Daniel, Daniel was told to shut the book up. In the book of Revelations, John was told to send it out. Send out the message. Get it unto the churches. Let them see what I've got to be saying. Let them hear, let them understand. And let me just say this, if you don't understand it, just believe it because God said it. I don't understand how thousands of people could walk through the Red Sea on dry ground. In a moment's time, the ground was dry when the water was removed. I don't understand it. But I believe it with all my heart because that's what the Bible says. I don't understand how three children can be thrown, the three Hebrew children, the men, can be thrown into a fiery furnace that killed the two that took them. And yet down there, they were alive and well and did not even smell like smoke. I walked in the house the other day. Somebody was burning some stuff just a couple of streets over there, and the smoke was coming through there. I walked through the house wearing Lynetta's favorite cologne. I smelled like burnt firewood. She loves that smell. Usually means I've been doing some pulled pork, though. But think about it. They didn't even have the smell on them. I don't understand how that happens other than God made it happen. God got them out of the fire just the same as God. When they went there, He was already there waiting on them. They come out, you say, Brother Ernie, why don't you understand it? Because I don't know how people can survive that of the flesh. But of the Spirit, I believe it absolutely 100% true. I mean, you say, do you think they really did? I absolutely think they really did. Somebody say, well, you know, the Bible says, yeah, read your Bible, see what it says. King Nebuchadnezzar said, I see four men loose walking down there. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. He got a glimpse of Jesus before we did. As long as you got your King James Bible. So John was told to write these things. The Word of God to you and I this morning is not a message of condemnation, but a message of hope and of love. It's not a book of do's and don'ts. It's a book of freedom. He in whom the Son is set free is free indeed. Whoa, church, think about that. My Bible is set up so that I can hear what God has to say. Do you realize in the book of Jeremiah, and you don't have to go there this morning, in the book of Jeremiah, in the 20th chapter, There was a, God was speaking, and God finally he got mad, all right? Jeremiah kind of got into a prayer fit, so to say. But when it all boiled down to it, Jeremiah was told this: let him that hath an ear hear. What is he going to hear, though? He's going to hear the wailing and the weeping of what was going on because they refused to return to God. Now let me ask you a question. What do you hear in heaven? Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard. We don't know, but it's going to be good. Think about it for just a second. And the Bible talks about the rejoicing in heaven. It talks about the souls of those that worship before the throne of God day and night. I mean, we don't know, but I know this. What does the Bible say about what we're going to hear in hell? Weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. Church, can I tell you something? Have you ever heard anybody weep? I sure have. Have you heard them wail? I'm going to tell you something I have. Have you heard them gnash with teeth? I've never experienced that and don't want to. That's going to be something horrible. But that's what the Bible says. The rich man looked out of hell crying for a drop of water. Lazarus was comforted and didn't know anything about the rich man. I'm so glad God separated heaven from hell. I'm here to tell you this morning, church, you won't know who's in hell, but everybody in hell will know who's in heaven. That's torment right there, church. Do you understand that that's what he's trying to tell us? We need to hear what God has said and what God is saying to the churches. We need to understand what the Word of God is. And he says, so let him hear. Let him hear with ear. And Jeremiah was told they're going to hear the weeping and the wailing of the punishment because they refuse to return unto God. And then he goes through and he talks about the features. He said, and I turned to see the voice of him, or that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man. Now, I'm going to tell you something. This is not saying that he was a man. This is the Son of God. He's described as the Son of God. He's described as the Son of Man. Why? Because he was born of a virgin. But he's not man like me in the aspect of a sinful man. A man with a sin nature. No, he's God. God in the flesh. Going on, he had hair as was white like was wool, as white as snow. His eyes were a flame of fire. His feet were like unto fine brass, as if it were burned in a furnace. And his voice is the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars. And out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. By the word, way is the word of God. His countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, and saying unto me, fear not. Can I tell you something, church? If you and I would come to God in the spirit of humbleness, the spirit and attitude of worship, and we fall before His feet, can you imagine sweeter words being said than that? Fear not. I mean to tell you something, Brother Danny, it means something to me. I'm going to say this morning, church. I think we fail in some aspects when we pray. It seems like it's hard for anybody to pray and lay hands on somebody else while they're praying. And I'm not saying that we got to, you know, just cover up and stuff like that. But do you realize today that whenever I go to the Lord and I'm praying, I'm pouring my heart out before God and I'm weeping, there ain't nothing like having somebody's hand come by and just touch me. And I know that they're praying with me. They don't got to know what I'm going through, but I know this. They know the man that I'm talking to. But wouldn't it be sweet to have Jesus just lay his hand on you and say, fear not. I don't know about tomorrow. I got plans for tomorrow. I mean, after all, Black Hills Energy will not pay me if I do not show up. So I plan on going to work. I got a meeting in the morning. The boss says, everybody be there on time. So I plan on getting up on time, leaving on time to be there on time. What does that mean, Brother Ernie? Go ahead and leave early. But what if I don't wake up tomorrow? See, I've been praying for a long time. Not planning, but praying. For a long time to be ready when the Lord calls my name to meet Him. So many folks are planning on getting right, but they'll never get there. He said, "Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am He that liveth and was dead. Behold, I," look at that, "behold, I am alive forevermore." Amen? You think about it. If the Lord said amen, we ought to say amen. He said, "I am alive forevermore." Amen? And have. I love it. He has. Hey, the devil will tell you, "I'm in control," but the devil's not in control, church. Can I tell you, I sung the song thinking about, when I wake up in the morning, I'm just here to tell you, the devil's there. You ain't nothing. You ain't nobody. You've messed up. You ain't right. You ain't ready. You ain't this. You ain't that. You know what? He tells me I'm everything but a child of God. What do you do, Brother Ernie? I just call on the Lord. They don't have to tell me where I fell. Man, I know that. I know how many times I mess up. Devil don't have to tell me. But you know, the devil likes to pile it on. But I'm glad God sends reinforcement. Just remember what your Bible says. Greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. He said to you and I, what? We have hope. Why? Because He has overcome the world. He has the keys of hell and death. When we stand before Him, that's when time is done. It says, "Write these things that thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand are the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the seven angels of the churches, and the seven candlesticks that thou sawest are the seven churches." And then from this point on, He says seven times these words, "Let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Think about it. If you go over to the seventh verse in the second chapter, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And then you jump down to verse 11, and it says, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the seven churches." Go to 17, "Let he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the seven churches." Unto the 29th verse there, it says this, and it says, "And he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the seven churches." Verse 6 in chapter 3, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the seven churches." And "he that hath an ear," in verse 13, "and let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And then one more time in verse 22, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." I'm going to say this morning, if God said it seven times, we ought to listen to it. Because that's what Christ said seven different times. "He that hath an ear," go like this morning, you got an ear. "Well, Brother Ernie, I don't hear very good." You got an ear. God didn't say listen to the audibleness of it. "Let him that hath an ear hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." We don't like to listen to God. Why? Well, God doesn't always tell me how good I am. He don't tell me how pretty I look or how handsome I am today. He doesn't tell me I've done a good job. And what do you mean? Well, sometimes God rebukes me and chastens me. And it hurts. Can I tell you this morning, child of God? It's because He loves you. The Bible says whom He does rebuke and chasten, He loves. He loves. Would you stand this morning? Fathers, we come before You today. And we're so grateful, so thankful, Lord, for Your love, Your mercy, and Your grace. Thanking You today, dear God, for what You say to our hearts. Lord, today I pray that Your will would be accomplished in every life that is here this morning. God, help us to see the truth and understand it. God, to realize that just as Your Word says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Father, we can't live without Him. We can't see without Him. Dear God, I'm so glad today that He's here in the presence of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Help me, dear God, I pray this morning. And help these that are here, dear God, I ask. And let us, Lord, Father, today seek Thee with all of our heart, that we'll find Thee, stay with Thee always. Lord, help us now, I pray, in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. If you got a desire to come and pray this morning,